Some of you probably may recognize that video clip from a long time movie, The Postman. Long ago, a post-apocalyptic type of movie, but I wanted to use that to give you an image, because these words were spoken by Max Licato. The title of today's sermon is "What's Your Focus?" And I invite you to join with me as we look at the scripture, and that is from Romans chapter 14. So if you would stand to your feet and let's honor the reading of these couple scriptures. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 8. Romans 14, verses 7 and 8. By the way, our Romans study will begin meeting again this evening. And so we're just now getting into chapter 14 in our Romans study, so should be exciting. 7 and 8. "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Let's pray. Father, as we hear these words, allow them to ring in our hearts and our minds, not just this day, but each and every day. For we are yours. And God, we commit ourselves as your people to live for you. I ask you, O Father, that you bless the hearing of these words today, that it will encourage and challenge us to do your will. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Behind him, a trail of tracks. Beneath him, a pounding stallion. Before him, miles of trail to cover. Within him, a flint rock resolve. That's the words that Max Licato, one of my favorite authors, and probably one of your favorite authors as well, writes in his book, "It's Not About Me." Licato goes on to further describe the extraordinary individuals and the work that the Pony Express riders were about. Listen to these words. He writes, "Squinty eyes, firm jawed, raw boned, Pony Express riders had one assignment: deliver the message safely and quickly. They seized every advantage, the shortest route, the fastest horse, the lightest saddle, even the lightest lunchbox. Only the sturdiest were hired. Could they handle the horses? The heat? Could they outrun robbers and outlast blizzards? The young and the orphaned were preferred. Those selected were given $125 a month. Pretty good salary for 1860. They were given a Colt revolver, a lightweight rifle, a bright red shirt, blue trousers, and 8 hours to cover 80 miles 6 days a week. You up for the job? I don't know. These guys, as you saw in the little clip, were truly focused on their job. They had to be focused on their job. They had committed themselves to do the job. And in order to accomplish that job, they had to be focused. They were sold out to the task, to the point that they recognized that because of the dangers and the harshness involved in that journey, they were taking their lives in their hands each and every time they mounted that steed to deliver the messages. When the Pony Express rider took the job, he or she realized and accepted the fact that the journey, get this, wasn't about them. Let me say that again. The journey wasn't about them. It was about those messages that they carried. Imagine, they were willing to risk life and limb for the sake of whatever message that they were carrying. I ask you, brothers and sisters, when was the last time you and I risked carrying the message, the eternal message, securely to those that needed it? I ask you, when was the last time, maybe even when your heart was pounding, that you shared the message of hope in Christ? See, that's our focus. That is what we are about in this life as believers. It wasn't their right nor responsibility as Pony Express riders to judge whether the message was important or not. It wasn't their place to assess whether the particular message was worthy of them potentially giving their life. And it wasn't their right to pick and choose which message deserved to be delivered or which message deserved priority. It wasn't their choice. You see, their only choice was to do their job. Given entirely, completely over to the task. That's called focus. That's called focused, my friends, my brothers and sisters. When was the last time you and I came to that point where somewhere within ourselves, we made a solemn decision? I am willing to give my life for the message of the cross. We love celebrating the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Christ. But are we really ready to step outside of the comfort zone and risk putting our lives on the line? And let me tell you, it's dangerous out there right now. Okay? When was the last time you did that? Well, needless to say, Sean and I made that solemn decision many, many years ago to put our lives on the line. Now, maybe we were naive or innocent or didn't know exactly what we were stepping into, but we put our lives on the line. Heaven forbid that we back away from that same solemn decision that we made so many years ago to follow that missionary call. Because I got news for you, brothers and sisters, I'm still following that missionary call. God hasn't removed it. It hasn't diminished in any way. I'm still following that missionary call. It just happens to be in a different place, in a different time, and in a different occasion. How many times will it take for you and me to step up and say, I'm willing to die for Christ? That should happen each and every day, shouldn't it? The scripture that we read this morning from Romans 14, verses 7 and 8, let me repeat it one more time. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Now I wonder, as we read these words, as we meditate upon them, as we think, as we let them sink deep into our hearts and our minds, I wonder if that sounds like us. Let's look around. Look around the world. Look around your community. How many people do you see that are clearly living their life not unto self? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that those who are unbelievers, who they're living for themselves. But what is perhaps most astonishing in our day and age is that Christians are not faring much better. Wow. If we look around us, a believer, a following Christ, should be so distinct. Not that we're better, not that we're more holy. We should live our lives in such a distinct way that surely anyone who notices will see the difference. Ah, that person is living not for himself or herself. That person is living for Christ Jesus. That is exactly what God is after. There should be a difference, don't you agree? Is there a difference? There must be a difference. Now, I wonder how many of your family or friends would see that kind of difference in your life choices. So when the Apostle Paul made these statements here in Romans chapter 14, he wasn't describing the behavior of humanity, but rather he was quite loudly echoing the very nature of existence. He was speaking the distinct truth and fact that we live as believers, we breathe as followers of Christ, we walk and we talk for Christ Jesus. Not for ourselves and not for anyone else. We who are followers of Christ live for Him. Your job may or may not be as exciting or dangerous as the one that I used to illustrate that this morning. In fact, all of the different hats that you wear each day would probably pale in comparison, except one. If you are a Christian today, if you have been saved and have been adopted as a child of God, and therefore you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and of salvation and of the promise of eternal life, then here's the thing. You have signed up and signed on for one of the most exciting and one, many times, one of the most dangerous jobs that there ever was or will be. The job of following Christ. The task of allowing the world to see that I'm not living for myself, I'm living for Him. And that can be downright dangerous at times. Maybe someone forgot to tell you what your journey as a Christian was all about. Maybe you signed on thinking that you could lounge around, soak in God's blessings, and continue to live your life your own way and do your own thing, just as you have always done. Or maybe you didn't really make a solemn decision to surrender your heart and life in totality to the Lord. Well, if you didn't, I got news for you. It only takes a moment. Come before the Lord in humble adoration and praise, and a solemn recognition that I need the Lord, that He offers to me salvation, that blood red crimson tide that was poured out for you and me. You see, if you did it because your friend came down to the front, you did it because it was the cool thing to do, you did it because it allowed you to fit in or even be part of the Christian crowd, or maybe you did it because you wanted to make your parents proud. You did it because you didn't want to burn in hell. All of those motivations might have brought you an inch closer to a decision, but I want to tell you one thing this morning, brothers and sisters. There's only one thing. There's only one motivation. There's only one power that can truly save, and that is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We must humbly come before Him in a broken and a contrite heart and mind and say, I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord. And I'll continue to need You, Lord, each and every day that I live. The Holy Spirit tugging upon your heart with conviction is what brings us to our knees. And at that point in time, we must let go of pride, of fear, and of control. And that moment, God Almighty saves. Now, you're going to see this first slide, which is from the scripture, and that is, for not one of us lives for himself. Not one of us lives for himself. The truth is, the Word of God declares unequivocally, clearly, that the purpose and the intention of our life is to live for Christ. Do you hear that in His Word? Not one of us lives for himself. It is God's plan, it is God's purpose, it is God's intention that when we sign on as a believer, we put it all behind. And we commit ourselves not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. We cannot live for Christ. You see on the board there, when we are living for self. It's a truth. Anytime you and I succumb to it, when we fall to the temptation to live for self, we cannot live for Christ. Now that doesn't affect our salvation. God's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He's not going to go back on His promises. Once He saved you, He's secured you. Know that, brothers and sisters. But our fellowship may suffer. God's calling is that we are called into fellowship of His Spirit. And then we're called into service. And so, for not one of us lives for himself. We must not. We cannot. We must never be found living for ourselves. Now, I know that's hard. In a hard world where it demands that we survive, that we do things, that we work in a way that secures all that we hope for, the American dream, so to speak, right? Listen, brothers and sisters, you haven't been put on this world to live the American dream. You've been put on this world to live for Christ. Each and every one of us, our job is to live for Christ. Second slide there. Not one dies for himself. Not one dies for himself. By the same token, neither must we nor we die for ourselves. See, our lives dedicated to lifting up the name of Jesus requires that we choose to die to self daily. And that is a tall task. That's a hard thing to do. If you and I want to live for Christ, it requires that we die to self each and every day. There's no way around it. There's no second way. There's no easy way. We must die to self. And that means that our wants, our desires, our hopes, our dreams, and our plans and purposes must be second to Christ's. That doesn't mean that we should not hope nor dream, but rather our lives become His. The next slide from that scripture. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. We do that so that we can live our lives for the Lord. Now, can't you just stop and imagine that if those Pony Express riders chose a different way, maybe they decided, okay, I've got 8 hours to accomplish 80 miles, so maybe I can stop off and take a rest. Maybe I can take a siesta. Maybe I can stop off and take a bite to eat here or there, or take a side trip to fill my emotional tank, or maybe even do some sightseeing along the way. No, you won't find them doing that, will you? Because they were super focused on the task that was before them. So, why do we? Let me suggest that we sometimes, if not many times, heaven forbid, if not most times, we get distracted from what our real job and our real task is all about. You've signed on to be a writer for the Lord. I've signed on not 6 days a week, but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to be a writer for the Lord. And what is it that I carry? None other than the precious message of a Christ who died, whose body was broken, who shed his blood so that we might have eternal life. So let me suggest that it is not an issue of our salvation. Rather, it must be an issue of our focus and our purpose. So I want you to pause a moment and think about what your primary focus or attention right now in your life might be. Is it family? Is it work? Maybe it's being a good husband or a wife. Is it getting ahead in life? Is it making a name for yourself? Or are you merely focusing on surviving? Are you focusing upon trying to get through the day, trying to keep your head above the water, upon whatever else it might be? If you're focused on those things, not that those are all good things and necessary things, but whatever it might be, that passion, that attention, that demand can become your whole focus. Now, I want you to think about what I'm saying here. Whatever you catch yourself thinking about all the time, whatever you find yourself doing most of the time, whatever maybe even you find yourself hearing from your loved ones as they complain about what you do or don't do, those may be the things that you are focused on. Needless to say, out of necessity, out of survival, Satan would like nothing else but you and I focus on those things. Because if he can get you to focus on self, on taking care of self, on making sure self survives, then you're not doing what? Let me hear it. I'm not hearing it. I'm not denying myself. And if I'm not denying myself, I'm not doing what? I'm not living for Christ. I'm saved, I'm signed, sealed, ready, you know, on my way to heaven, but I'm not living for Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that. There are so many distractions, so many things in our lives that Satan uses to try to get us, grab us, trap us. And so the moment I find myself guilty of that, then I'm reminded by this precious scripture. I am not to live for self. I live for Christ. And I don't die. I die for self. I die unto self. I give up self each and every day. The truth of the matter is, whatever you're focused upon, that is what you're really about. So if we will allow ourselves to truly look at what we're about, we're agonizingly going to discover, in many cases, that we are mostly about ourselves. Our lives are stuck on us, and that's all we really think about and care about. As we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. For a few brief moments, I hope and pray you are caught up in the moment, in that precious moment when you held that bread in your hand and that cup with the juice in it in the other hand, and you gazed upon it, and you heard the choir sing about the precious blood of Jesus. In that moment, you were focused on Him. Each and every moment of our lives, brothers and sisters, we are to focus on Him. We are to live our lives for Him. So let me read that scripture verse one more time for you. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. For not one of us lives for ourselves. Not one of us lives for himself. I will not live for myself. Can you say that with me this morning? I will not live for myself. Say it again. I will not live for myself. Then who will you live for? Jesus. Each and every precious moment we take a breath, we live for Jesus, don't we? Whether we're aware of it or not, each and every breath that we have, we live for Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful calling. There is no higher calling, you know, but to live for Jesus. It's not a calling for me. It's not a calling for Pastor Jonathan. Exclusively, it is your calling as well. You are called to live for Jesus. And so I ask you this morning, will you? For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. Will you die to yourself daily? Will you say that with me? I die to myself daily. You know who else said that? The Apostle Paul, didn't he? I die daily, he said. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then look at verse 12. No, let's not skip verse 11. That's just as powerful. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us shall give an account to the Lord God Almighty. Are you ready to stand before God right now and say, I live for Christ? Are you ready to stand as you stand and say, I die to self today and tomorrow and the next day? You ready to do that? So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Lead us in a hymn of invitation, if you would, Hilda and Steve. And in this moment, God calls. And maybe you're far from Him. Maybe you're caught up in your own junk, in your own stuff. Maybe you're trapped in your own mess. God calls out to you and says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And you know the rest of that. What does He say? I will give you rest. And that promise is new every morning, new every day. Whatever you're facing, whatever Satan's put in your way, your precious Savior calls, come unto me.